The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the services of Sunday, June 3rd, 2018. Thank you to Pat and Deb O'Malley for your sponsorship.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pastor Alicia, and I want to welcome you to Holy Trinity Lutheran Church this morning. I am joined up front leading worship with the worship band, as well as the first weekend of the month worship support team. Thank you to all of you who are guiding us in worship this morning. This week's theme and the coming week's theme is following Jesus, as you'll see throughout the service on the screen. We're jumping in back in to the Gospel of Mark. We took a little hiatus from Mark for Easter and Lent, and now we're jumping back in for the summer. So our worship series again is called Following Jesus, and we'll be pulling out those black Bibles in your chairs in a little while here. At this point, I'll just invite you to stand, and we'll begin in worship singing together our opening hymn. Continue with our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another, pausing for a brief moment of silence. Jesus Christ, we seek to follow you, but too often we go our own way. Remind us of your words today. Help us claim your Spirit's power today to convict us of our sin, to call us to repentance, and to remind us that your mercy enables us to follow you again and again. Amen. Indeed, Jesus promises never to leave or forsake us, and since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Amen. We'll continue in worship together. Let us pray together. Almighty and ever-living God, throughout time, you free the oppressed, heal the sick, and make whole all that you have made. Look with compassion on this world wounded by sin, and by your power, restore us to wholeness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You can be seated for our special music this morning from Vera.
The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Here ends the reading.
Please stand as you're able.
Thank you.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God, and when Abiathar was a high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" Here ends our gospel reading. Thanks be to God. Well, good morning, everyone. June is here. It's officially here, and I don't know if this was the case for you, but I've heard of many in our church who had kind of a busy and crazy month of May. So I don't know if it's true for some of you, but today may be received as a gift if that's the case for you. If May has been busy, we have a strangely wise transition in the church year today. And I want to tell you about it. We have a lot of formal names for church seasons. Like we might say, this is the season of Advent or Epiphany or Pentecost. All these formal, fancy names that we need to translate sometimes. But today we begin this new season in the church year, which we call Ordinary Time. It's a beautiful season. So welcome to Ordinary Time, its proper name. And if you found yourself scrambling the last month, going from one important event to another, ending the school year, please know that you're welcome to enjoy the season of Ordinary Time with me. And I think it has something to say to all of us in our lives as well today, because sometimes I think we have our strongest moments of faith, either when we have high highs or low lows. Whether it might be Easter celebration moments of life or Lent despair moments when we're in really rough places, both can sometimes be our highest or strongest points of faith. But this season in the church year is the longest season we have, ordinary time. And I think it actually has something to say to us that maybe we have the most to learn about how to have faith in ordinary points in life. Ordinary times of life. So through the summer, we're going to dive into the Gospel of Mark, reading story after story, one at a time. And we're going to walk through Mark and follow Jesus along the way and see what life following Jesus means for us as followers during ordinary times. So our worship series appropriately is called Following Jesus. We're going to follow him through this season. So today, I'm going to invite you to take out a black Bible in a chair in front of you or behind you or one you brought with to church, and we're going to open up to the Gospel of Mark. We haven't done this for a little while, but we're going to turn to page 814. 814. And as you're opening up to page 814, today, as you probably realize, we're talking about Sabbath. And I want to begin today with admitting something to you, that this is hard for me. And I know it's probably hard for many of us today. And I'll admit to you, I actually wrote my message on our Sabbath day this week, so it feels really contradictory. But I say that just to say that I think this is a really important reminder for all of us today, and we're going to hear, even in our readings, it says, remember, 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 this is a gift for you. So when we open up the Gospel of Mark, just a bit of recall from when we were in Mark before. Mark is the first gospel ever written. So when we think about Mark writing this book, he didn't have anyone to follow. He was the first one to try and write about this man named Jesus. And then Luke came next and Matthew with him, and then later John. But in addition, as you may recall, Mark is the most succinct. It's the shortest. So I love it. Maybe you do too, but he's really good about just getting to the point of what he's trying to say. And so if you remember from the very beginning, in chapter 1, the book starts out setting the pace for the whole story, like any good writer does for any good book, and he says, chapter 1, verse 1, This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So what is this whole book about? Good news. This whole book is about good news. That's the whole point of what Jesus came to be and do. And the book is just the beginning. The good news still continues for all of us today. So each time we open up Mark, it might be most appropriate to ask, what's the good news Mark has for us today? So if you remember back to January, if you were part of Holy Trinity, we looked at some of the beginning stories up until Mark 2:23 today. We heard about Jesus being baptized, him being in the wilderness, calling his team of disciples, doing some healing. And today, after all those wonderful stories, we see some things bubbling up that aren't going so well, which is kind of true of anybody you hang around for a while. Usually something bubbles up eventually. So let's turn to chapter 2, verse 23. We just read it a minute ago, but when we read it, we heard there are some faithful Jewish leaders called the Pharisees, and they notice at the beginning of verse 23, it was Sabbath, the disciples and Jesus are going through the grain fields, and as they make their way, the disciples begin to pluck some heads of grain. Sounds ordinary, but the key is it's Sabbath. So here are these faithful Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, and they're watching the disciples pluck grain to eat later on. And the key thing you have to know or remember is it's the Pharisees' jobs to make sure the laws are followed, the religious laws. And one of the laws is that no work is to be done on the Sabbath. So you can imagine the Pharisees are feeling good or not so good about what's happening. They're not so happy. It's their job to make sure the laws are followed and they're being broken. Sabbath was a big deal to them. So, I don't know about you, but when I encounter someone and they seem perhaps to have a strong emotional reaction to something or a strong response to something that's going on, my first thought is usually, I wonder why that is. I wonder why they're reacting so strongly to this. I wonder what it is about their life story that this hits home for them so deeply. Because usually there's a good reason. Usually there's a good reason, there's more to their story, and there's a reason for the response. And I think that's the Pharisees' case today, too. So I think we have to think back to their story. Just like when you encounter anyone with a strong emotional response, you want to ask what's their story that leads them to feel that way. So we're going to ask that about the Pharisees today. So I'm going to invite you to look back or think back to the Old Testament Jewish people and what was one of the most traumatic, most life-changing experiences in their life. And you may recall, the Jewish people were all slaves. They were all slaves in Egypt. And they were slaves under a really oppressive ruler named Pharaoh. And under Pharaoh, they had no freedom, no control, and no rest. It was only through Moses that God worked to free the people. He led them through the Red Sea to the promised land on the other side. And you might recall, once they got to this freedom life, that's when God gave them the Ten Commandments, is a way to live in this new free life. So I'm going to invite you, if you'd like to actually turn to that in your Bible today. It's on page 142. This is where we first get Sabbath, and we can realize why the response is what it is. So if you turn to page 142, chapter 5. It's going to be Deuteronomy chapter 5. And you can stay here for the rest of today. So starting at verse 6. So chapter 5, verse 6. And I'll invite you to read just that one verse 6 with me. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You can stop there. It's almost like before God gives these rules for this new free life they have, he says, just remember, I'm the God who brought you out of the house of slavery. Almost like saying, before I give you these laws, remember, I'm a God who has saving you in mind. I'm a God who wants the best life for you possible. I want you to have life and freedom. So with that, here are some guidelines to give you the life I want you to have. And one of those rules or words or laws he gives is the law around Sabbath. So I'm going to invite you to look with me to verse 12 now. Verse 12. And I'm going to invite you to read 12 through 15 with me. So let's read together. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. I'm sure you've heard often from people that when someone's experienced something traumatic in their life, if it goes unaddressed, it's likely to continue for generations to come. And the Pharisees have a strong emotional reaction to the Sabbath potentially being broken because they themselves knew what it was like not to get rest, not to have a break, not to have a Sabbath. And as they watch, they get upset because they know what it's like not to have it. In fact, the Jewish prayer before the Sabbath meal is this: once we were slaves in Egypt, and now we are free people, as this remembrance of why they get a free day because of God. So in our reading today, I want you to imagine the scene. Imagine the Pharisees protective of the Sabbath day and watching Jesus and the disciples plucking grain. You have to imagine the Pharisees' red flags went up right away. They knew what it could be like if that got ruined. So we have to ask, why would Jesus allow this to happen? In the Gospel of Mark, the question lies, I think, at the very beginning. The Gospel of Mark begins with what? This is the beginning of the good news. So why would Jesus pluck grain on the Sabbath? Only to bring good news. He'd do it to bring good news because the Sabbath was getting in the way of feeding hungry people. The Sabbath was getting in the way. To the hungry, feeding on the Sabbath was good news. So Jesus ends by saying the key words for today for all of us, young and old. He ends our reading today saying, the Sabbath was made for humankind and not the humankind for the Sabbath. Jen Hatmaker is a current day writer who kind of says it in a different way. She says it this way: God ordained the Sabbath for us, not just another requirement from us. So today we're in the season of ordinary time, and we're invited to think about what Sabbath means for us. And I think today we see that the gift of Sabbath is good news. It's meant to be good news. We observe the Sabbath not as a rule to follow, as this, not from this demanding, authoritative God that's saying, this is what you have to do for me. Sabbath comes out of the freedom from an oppressive ruler. And today, I think in our chaotic, busy world, this is good news for us. Because God doesn't just invite us to stop, he tells us to stop. And here's something I want you to think about today. I think sometimes we have a way of turning our own pursuits into modern day pharaohs. We have a way of making our own pharaohs, oppressive voices in our life, giving us no room to breathe, no time, and no rest. And in the same way that Jesus healed on the Sabbath and fed people on the Sabbath, he reminded us Sabbath wasn't a rule to follow. It was a gift for us. It's not supposed to be a new pharaoh for us to listen to. The purpose of Sabbath is life and freedom. So today I want to leave you with a couple questions to take home and wonder about. What is Sabbath for you in this ordinary time? Who or what might be your pharaoh? Is it an oppressive external force in your life that keeps you enslaved for some reason? Or is it something that you've created in your own life for some reason or another? Or is it this rigid obedience to rules? Is it an unceasing schedule? How can Jesus bring you good news through this gift of Sabbath today? If you'd bow your heads, we'll say a prayer and then we'll sing. Dear God, I thank you so much for this reminder when you tell us over and over again to remember that once we were slaves, but you intended for us to be free. Help us to receive this gift of Sabbath from you today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. If you'd stand as you're able. Let's join together and pray the prayer now that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now as you go on your way, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord look upon you with favor and give you God's peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Serve the Lord.